The prior context to this gospel reading is important, so I'm actually going to read from verse 22 through verse 40 today. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If you then are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I'll you into the oven. How much more will God clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Humanity is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus seems to have known quite well our natural inclination toward anxiety and fear, and our inclination to hold tightly to those things that provide us with a sense of comfort, stability, and security. This section of Luke's gospel that precedes today's appointed reading addresses this directly, and I don't think today's text has its full effect without being read in light of that section. And so there, Jesus is saying, "Can any of you, by worrying, add even a single hour to the span of your life?" And he assures his listeners that if God cares enough to provide for the ravens and the lilies of the world, God will certainly be willing to provide for them. The problem is the world seeks to convince us all the time through our media, our politics, our consumer culture that our resources are scarce. It stirs up in us even more anxiety and fear than that to which we're naturally inclined. We fixate on getting what we don't have and keeping what we do. And of course, those who don't have their basic needs met are of course going to be consumed with anxiety about how they will live. Those whose needs are met, but who seemingly have an opportunity to increase their stability, will worry and strive over how best to get ahead. And then those who have their needs more than filled will have anxiety of their own to maintain the same level or status, or so often as we see today, continue making concerted efforts to accumulate even more. Jesus concludes this earlier section by noting that worry and the seeking of material comforts and security is indeed the world's way, but it is not to be God's way. Because God already knows what we need. God knows the basics, and so Jesus says, instead, strive for God's kingdom, strive for God's reign first, and these things will be given to you as well. Now, I appreciate Jesus telling us we don't have to worry. It's a great assurance that God knows what we need and cares for us and is willing to provide. But as a natural worrier myself, I tend to circle back to how helpful and productive it seems to be when someone tells me, don't worry. It just doesn't work. It's a nice encouragement, but it's not something we can just turn on and off when our rational minds direct us. So how can this happen? How can we free ourselves from this worry? How can we be freed of fear and anxiety and seek first God's reign, God's ways of love and grace, compassion and justice and peace with those around us? The good news begins today's selected gospel text. We don't have to do this on our own. It is already God's good pleasure, Jesus says, to give us that kingdom, to bring us a share in God's reign. But then look what comes next. Vicar Parker and I have talked a lot this year about the struggle to preach both law and gospel, with gospel coming through clearly, with the good news coming through clearly. Because God's word comes to us both as command and as promise. The law shows us what we need to do that we haven't done. It shows us where we've fallen short. It shows us where we've done things that have been unhealthy or harmful, and it convicts us of the brokenness of this world and our actions. The gospel, then, of course, to which the law points us, assures us of the good news of what God has already done for us through Jesus. God acts first, and the commands aren't the good news. The things we do aren't what make us right with God, but they are to be our grateful response to what God has already done. But in readings like today, it becomes tricky. After Jesus proclaims this gospel, God's will is to give you the kingdom, he next says that part of that promise is what we have to do. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves, be dressed and ready for action, light your lamps, be like this, know this. Given the already overwhelming length of our to-do lists, the number of tasks and responsibilities we carry day to day, not to mention the attending anxiety and worry that come with them, this doesn't necessarily sound like good news. It's a lot to think about, let alone do, and surely we won't be successful in doing it well all the time. But in this case, I think what Jesus is saying is that these commands do, in a sense, serve as part of the good news. He's trying to help his followers and us reorient our focus and our perspective. If God's will is sovereign, if God's will is truly in control of everything, we need not worry. But we still do. So how do we reframe? We act ourselves into a different mindset. Jesus seems to be suggesting here that we have two basic competing impulses in our lives, to grasp and to hoard, and to release and to give. The first one, to grasp and to hoard, definitely feels like the stronger of the two. But following the latter, opening ourselves to the willingness to release and give can be freeing. It can extricate us from our inward-focused patterns of worrying only about our own well-being. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we're willing to let go of the things that represent to us stability and safety and security, especially if we direct them toward the needs and well-being of our neighbors, by God's grace, we will be moved away from the anxious and fear-based focus on self and be able to live more fully into and enjoy the fruits of God's reign. This principle, of course, extends beyond material possessions to other aspects of our lives. Our instinct is to grasp and hold on. We struggle to let go of whatever provides us with a sense of comfort and stability and well-being. The most difficult of these, of course, is relationships, especially when someone we love has died. When that happens, our world is changed irreversibly. We fear the unfamiliar and unknown future that comes after it, especially because we have to navigate it without that person who was such a source of love and support and encouragement and strength. But it extends to other areas too. When a dear friend moves away, when we move from a beloved home, changing jobs, shifting majors or career tracks altogether, even accepting changes in our church and congregation, a place that has served as a place of refuge for us and stability amid so much else in life that continues to change on us so quickly. And of course, it happens when a pastor or a vicar, a ministry partner, leaves the congregation and moves on to something new. With people like Vicar Parker and Gina, whose presence and contributions to St. Andrew we have enjoyed and appreciated throughout this past year, our instinct is to want to hold on. We love them, and we would rather they stay. Again, though, our inclination is to preserve what is good, to maintain our own stability regardless of other factors. This isn't kingdom-focused, though. It's only me and we-focused. And of course, it's not what's best for Vicar Parker and Gina. Instead, we are invited today to let go, to release them from our community, to release them from our care, trusting in God's plan and will, knowing that they both will be able to serve God's people and the larger church more fully when they move on. There will likely be anxious times ahead for them and for us as Gina starts a new job, as Parker finishes his interviews, as he awaits the church's assignment process, and as he looks for his first call. And of course, we will have struggles and anxious times ahead as well, re-establishing patterns, rhythms of life together, knowing that Vicar Parker won't be here, adjusting to gaps that he filled, and I know on my end, worrying terribly about how we will get all the technology figured out that he has brought to our congregation. But in the midst of all this, in our fears and anxiety and worry, whatever they may be of what comes ahead, Jesus' words remain the backdrop to such thoughts. God knows your worries and fears. Strive first for my reign, and I will give you all that you need to make it through. And supporting us all in this is the promise at the heart of our faith that by Christ's death and resurrection, in every ending, God brings the gift of new life. Yesterday at our church council retreat, someone mentioned to Vicar Parker that they would miss his preaching with all its movie references. And he joked that it's not like Pastor Ross doesn't watch movies. He could bring some of that to his sermons too. So today, in an attempt to live up to that challenge, and in the spirit of today's gospel, I leave you with the words of Elsa, the ice princess from Frozen, and her most beloved song, Let It Go. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. I'm free. Vicar Parker and Gina, you are free. Free in Christ to serve the church and your vocations and the larger Pittsburgh community. People of St. Andrew, you are free to discern and explore where God is calling you and us together next. And together we all are freed. Freed in Christ to love God and to serve our neighbor, to move forward in faith as Abram and Sarai did, and to trust in God's promise that the kingdom has already been given us. We just trust that God will continue to help us participate in it as we move forward into whatever is next. In Jesus' name, amen.